Thanks be to God for that. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to the book of Proverbs, it's Proverbs chapter 3. It comes right after that largest book of the Bible, Psalms. It's also printed in your bulletin if you don't have the Word with you this morning. And we're going to read the first 8 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. And then I will also read the first 3 verses of Hebrews chapter 12. And those are also printed for you in your bulletin. So if you would, please give your attention to the reading of God's Word. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And then over to Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thus ends the reading of God's most holy and inspired word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, for the great wisdom in your word, for how your word reveals to us your Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is your wisdom. And so, Father, we would ask this morning for the Holy Spirit's help. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would shine a light on your word, illuminate your word to us, that you might give us understanding, and that we might behold the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I think you're all, like me, very aware of yesterday, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. It was Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001, when two planes crashed into the Twin Towers in New York City. And shortly after, there was another plane that crashed into the Pentagon. My father was there in Washington, D.C. that day, on the grounds of Arlington National Cemetery. And that's about a mile and a half away from the Pentagon, and he was able to actually hear and feel that impact of that airplane in the Pentagon. Then there was a fourth plane that we'll not know on this side of heaven where it was intended to go, but it crashed in the fields of Pennsylvania. and all who were on board those four planes perished. In the days that followed, I'm not sure any of us that can remember will soon forget those days. You know, there was, I think, a very palpable sense of fear. We had realized that our world as we knew it would forever change. There were lots of questions. I just recently listened to a podcast on the Gospel Coalition where they interview believers, people who went through the experience of 9/11, and they are sharing their stories. And naturally, they interviewed Pastor Tim Keller, who's the pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian in Manhattan. And he was asked about that first Sunday following 9/11 and the days and months that were to follow. One of the things he shared was they normally have an attendance of 2,800 on a Sunday morning, and they have just the one morning service. But that Sunday after 9/11, that service, they had over 5,300 people, and there were others that they just didn't have room for. And so they held an impromptu second service, and there were still another 800 people. And so they more than doubled their normal attendance on that day. And he said, you know, that really wasn't that unusual, because churches everywhere in New York saw the same thing. People were grasping for answers. People wanted to come and to find comfort. They needed help. And there was a slogan that I'm sure you've all seen if you're on social media. When people post about 9/11, they usually finish it with this. It's hashtag never forget. And this morning, that's actually what we see in our text. Is it not? The very first verse of Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." See, there are things that we would do well to not forget. It wasn't just what happened in our country, because in the days and months that followed, there was this welling up of national pride. People experienced a togetherness that they hadn't felt. People were driving around with the American flags on their cars. When you would watch a sporting event on TV, you would hear chants of USA, USA. But those feelings didn't last. And I think we've seen some of those same things in the church, where there have we've seen differences that have arisen and disagreements. And so I think today we are kind of back in the same place, where we're all so aware of these disagreements and divisions and in our churches and in our land, and we're looking for answers. Well, God's wisdom, as we find it here in Proverbs chapter 3, provides some of those answers. I want to begin by looking at some of the pitfalls that we can experience. And to help you, I'm trying to use an alliteration of a number of words that begin with P. And so we will try to use those to help us to remember those things we ought not to forget. I want you to engage in a little exercise with me. If you have your Bible still open, or if your bulletin is still open to that text, take a look at those verses, and I'm going to read something very slowly, and I'm going to call it an anti-Proverbs 3. These are going to be familiar words. We've all heard them. These are words of wisdom of the world. It's very different from what we find here in this text. So as I read these words, I want you to follow along in Proverbs chapter 3 and contrast these two differing views of wisdom. Beginning in verse 5, that's that verse that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Worldly wisdom would say, "Believe in yourself and follow your heart." And what does Jeremiah 17:9 say? "The heart is deceitful above all else." But the world would have us follow after our own heart. Have confidence in what you have learned. How different is that from what God says? And lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. Never doubt yourself. Maintain a high self-esteem. How different is that from trusting instead in the Lord? Doing so with all our heart. And leaning not on our own understanding. They would say, "And if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything." Verse 7. "Be who you want to be. My body, my choice." Verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." So how different? How different is the wisdom of the world than what we find in God's Word? And so, God's Word calls us to remember, to never forget His words of wisdom. There are four pitfalls that I want us to be very cognizant of. The first is pride. Never forget that all of us can experience pride. It's all something that we can struggle with. Proverbs 3:7 says to not be wise in your own eyes. Do you remember King Nebuchadnezzar? It's in Daniel chapter 4. Verses 28 through 33 are really the context of this, but verse 30 says this of King Nebuchadnezzar. "The king reflected and said, 'Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?'" Well, he was a pagan king, but he looked around and saw what he had accomplished and became very prideful. And it was at that very moment that an almighty God caused him to go insane. And years later, his sanity was restored. But it's a good reminder of what the Lord can do. And we need to be wary. It's a warning that we have here to never forget to be wary of pride. The second one is the warning of pleasures. In Proverbs 3:5, we're told that all of our heart must be devoted to trusting God. We can't say that we're going to be Sunday Christians and then the other 6 days of the week we pursue our own pleasures. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we read this about David's son, King Solomon, who wrote Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 4, 1 Kings 11. "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. And in verse 6, Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully, as David his father had done. And so we see how easily we can be distracted by the pleasures of the world, certainly good gifts that God has given for our enjoyment, and then to turn and to give thanks to Him for those good gifts. But when they become our ultimate, when they become something that is an idol of the heart, well, then we can suffer the same as Solomon. And so never forget the warning of pleasures. A third is the warning of problems and pain that we can experience in life. Proverbs 3, verse 6. We must acknowledge God in all our ways. We must be trusting Him. Even when we have problems and pain, when our ways encounter those great difficulties in life, I want to remind us of another character in the Bible, Job's wife. In Job chapter 2, that's just before the book of Psalms, right at the beginning, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read these words, and then Job's wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You see, it's a warning for us this morning as we consider Job's wife, the despair that she was feeling, and the great sorrow she had just suffered through the death of her children. And they had lost everything. And she had become angry at God. And she told her husband to curse God and die. That can so easily happen to any of us when we go through great problems and pain in life. And it's a warning for us to never forget, to be wary of when we do encounter problems and pain, to turn back to God, to keep our eyes, as we read, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And one last one. Never forget that we could all be carried away, taken captive by the elementary principles of this world. We find that in Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 8. "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." See, the elementary principles of the world is that worldly wisdom. Now, what do we see today that seems to be taking some of our friends in the church, seems to be taking them captive, where they're being led astray? Well, we know about people speaking of racial reconciliation, and certainly this is a good thing. But when people begin to talk of critical race theory, when people begin to despise certain people groups and they unrightly esteem others to a place of idolatry, really, that's the wisdom of the world. And we see people in the church being led astray by these elementary principles of the world. We see confusion over gender and sexuality issues within the church. There's disagreements on COVID protocols, and it creates division and disagreement among believers. And so we need to be reminded of this warning. Proverbs 3:5. Those who've been taken captive, think about Proverbs 3:5. To trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's not the voices that we hear in the world that we need to trust. Lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And what we hear are people in the world who are wise in their own eyes. Never forget that even believers can be confused and taken captive. Well, those are four warnings, four pitfalls: pride, pleasures, pain, and the elementary principles of the world. Well, God provides an answer. These are His provisions. I think first, we should be reminded, as we have read in verse 1 of Proverbs 3, "My son, do not forget my teaching," that we should plumb the depths of God's Word. Plumb the depths of God's Word. If you're going to remember the Lord's teaching, well, then that means you need to be in the Word, and you need to be studying it. Samuel Rutherford, the Puritan, said, "Make the seeking of Christ your daily task. Never forget. Plumb the depths of God's Word, as if looking for treasure." Colossians 2:3 says, "The knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now, if you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, then you'll remember that as the book kind of goes along, it seems to kind of jump from one subject to the next. And it can be a little confusing about how quickly the subject can change. And there's just one truth after another. And I don't have a great answer for why Solomon does that as he's writing. But one thing that has struck me, if you're going to truly capture all of the wisdom found in Proverbs on a given subject, you're going to have to really study and dig and plumb the depths. And if that's true in Proverbs, it's really true of all of Scripture, that we need to be in the Word, plumbing the depths. A second thing that the Lord does as a provision that He gives to us is that of praise. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." Well, that is certainly what we do when we come together and gather in worship. We are acknowledging who He is. And we are telling Him in the reading of His Word, and in our prayers, and in our songs of praise. We are acknowledging to God who He is and our dependence on Him. Never forget our need to come together in worship and to praise God. And then one last thing. It's prayer. Proverbs 3:5 says, we are to trust the Lord with all our heart. And certainly, that trust begins with going to Him in prayer and telling Him all about our problems and all about our needs, the needs of others. Going to the Lord in prayer. J.C. Ryle said this about prayer. Praying and sinning will never live together in the same heart. Prayer will consume sin, or sin will choke out prayer. And so if you are giving your life over to the Lord in a life of prayer, there is no way for sin to continue in your heart. But if you forego that, that's where it begins. And your sin will choke out your prayer life. And so God does give to us three provisions. That of plumbing the depths of His Word, that of praise to Him, and that of prayer. Well, a right perspective is what we need, and it's the example that we see in our Lord Jesus. And it's what we read in Hebrews chapter 12. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Our perspective, our gaze, needs to be upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking to Him. Looking to see what He did. How He went to the cross. For the joy that was set before Him, it says, He endured the cross. You see, His perspective was you and me. He was looking at the people that He was going to the cross for. And so, we need to have our eyes fixed on Him. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Never forget to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. We find in Proverbs chapter 3 God's plan of salvation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. We need to lean upon the truth that God reveals to us in His Word. The plan of salvation, the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. Our God has given us His wisdom, and His wisdom is found in His Word and in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, "And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, redemption." Christ is indeed the wisdom of God. Before I came up here, we sang that hymn, "Be Thou My Vision." Go back later today and pull out the words to that hymn and read over that as you think through what we've read today and this call to fix our eyes on Jesus. Lord, be Thou my vision. And for this, may we never forget. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You that You have given to us all that we need. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He has paid the awesome penalty for our sin, that He endured the wrath for our sake. Lord, this is hard, but we do ask for Your help, that we would be those who would trust You with all our heart, that we would lean not on our own understanding, but that in all our ways we would acknowledge You. And Lord, we cling to this promise that You would make our path straight. And we ask these things In Jesus' name.